Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hoping everybody's having a beautiful Wednesday. I'm going to get on with the show, but first I'd like to say yesterday was my mother's birthday. She's been deceased for 17 years now. She was 69 years old when she succumbed to cancer. I really miss my mom, love my mom, and I really, really wish that she was still here. So you who have moms here, please love and cherish them and treat them like the queens they are. Today is Michael Jackson's birthday. I like to say hello and happy. I'm going to say hello to a dead man. But anyway, happy birthday to Michael Jackson. I think he's something like 54 or something like that. But anyway, he's deceased as well. We do miss him, love him, and his music is still being played, carried on. His children are still here. Hopefully everything will work out for them because, you know, there was a little drama going on with that. And, you know, I'd like to say happy birthday to all the Virgo babies that are being born this month, or babies that were already born this month. Happy birthday to you as well. Tonight's show, the topic is sex versus lovemaking. Now, quite sure a lot of us have had sex. A lot of us have had lovemaking. But is it just a play on words? What is the difference between lovemaking and sex? I'm just going to give my little analogy of it. I would say, first, sex is having intercourse with somebody you may like or somebody you just may want to have sex with. Lovemaking is somebody that you may be in a committed relationship with and love the scent of them, the touch of them, the sound of them. And, you know, lovemaking is always good after you can cuddle up with that person. When you have sex, you might hit and, you know, get up, go home, or you might hit and don't even know the person's name. But, you know, is it just a play on words? I really think that some people take it a little to the left because a person will say something like, why are you having sex with that person? When it does not necessarily mean that it's sex to you, you know, especially if your feelings are involved. The person can be with somebody, and to them it may be lovemaking, but to the other person it may be just sex. But you have to get it together either way. Which is the difference? How do you differentiate sex from lovemaking? If anybody out there has any idea what's the difference between sex and lovemaking, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I do have a call on the line. I'm going to bring that caller in and see if they have an opinion as to what's the difference between sex and lovemaking.
How are you, Delicious?
Are you there?
Yes, Delicious. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, you can hear me well?
Let me see. Let me turn up my volume a little bit. Okay, I think I can hear you better now.
You can hear me well now?
Yes.
Okay. I would have to say that when it comes to lovemaking and sex, is the difference is one is mental, and when you love to a woman, that's a mental, spiritual, and physical thing all in one. I think that when it comes to sex, physically, you're laboring with a rhythm, and there's no emotion involved, there's no spirit involved, and there's no connection of mental stimulation. Now, does it mean that you can't get sensation and feeling from the physical aspect of it? But the lovemaking is the higher form and level of it all laboring with the rhythm spiritually, physically, and mentally. It's just my opinion.
Okay, that sounds really good, and it sounds like that has some merits to it, because you speak of it being mentally, physically, and spiritually, whereas with sex, there's basically bam, thank you, ma'am, you know, so to speak, because if you're getting booty calls, that's basically, I would consider that as being sex. But I had a conversation with someone earlier today, and they said a booty call could possibly be making love as well. What is your opinion on that?
I would have to say that that is not totally in disagreement, because you know, some people move away from love at first sight, or when you looked him or her, when they looked at each other in the eyes, something hit them in the heart. I think that having time in a relationship, that it adds to all of the above what I said about the lovemaking. But you'd be surprised how, or people would be surprised how, maybe that first time in that booty call, that one time could be that person that you turn around, become engaged to, married to, and be with them for the rest of their lives. See, I think the Creator puts people in our lives for different reasons. So I say that to say that there's a difference between a booty call and lovemaking, without a doubt. But I think that when God gives us the mind and we use it physically and we come across somebody who uses their physically and we're on the same level, well, then something special happened. I always looked at that as something that was uncivilized or so odd and unique. You know, God gives us reasons and things happen. I mean, I put that like that. Maybe I went a little bit overboard with spiritualism, but I'm not one to, like, just push people away because they're free with sex all the time. I'm just not going to do that.
But would you say it's a play on words? Sex and lovemaking, even in spite of you mentioned it being spiritual, physical, and mental, could there be a play on words, sex, lovemaking, because it does involve both having intercourse. So would you consider that as being a play on words as well?
Well, I'm not playing with the words. I try to be as articulate as possible in explaining what my experiences have been and what I see of other people and my observations. See, I have one thing called experience and I have something else called observation. And I have seen some people who play with sex and it's not, and they don't take it serious. I've seen some people take it serious that have been hungry for it. And then I've seen some people who go through the different stages and levels and it becomes lovemaking. So I guess I'm trying to carve my words like a wordsmith would do in order to put things in the right category. And everybody might not have my opinion in my position, but that's just mine.
Right. Well, like I had mentioned, lovemaking to me is the physical, the mental, and that goes hand in hand, because when somebody is physically stimulating you mentally and it becomes physical and both of you are in tune with each other and it's good, then I would consider that lovemaking. And then there are things that go with lovemaking, the talking, the cuddling, you know, the touching, the kissing, whereas with sex it may be some people don't even kiss, you know, when they're having sex. Some people don't kiss when they're making love, but I think that a kiss is a prelude to making love. And kisses are very important to me when I make love or even if I'm having sex. But I think that everybody at one point in their life has made love, and at one point in their life they've had sex. Some people may know the difference between it and some may not. Some may not want to know the difference between it, because if you're getting that good feeling and somebody's passing out those vibes to you, then, you know, they may say, well, what's the difference? You know, so I believe that's where it comes in, when people can't differentiate between the fact of having sex and making love.
I'm going to ask you a question, Delicious. Can a person make love to a person and not touch them physically? And can they conversate, send letters, and talk on the telephone, email each other? And is that possible to make love that way? And would you call this not being lovemaking if it happens on the first conversation? See, because you're not doing nothing physically, but you may be talking to each other verbally. You're not doing nothing physically. Is that possible? That could be lovemaking?
I think that it can. I think it can, because you're having that emotional feel of that person. And I believe that's how it begins anyway, through that emotional touch, you know, as far as conversating, getting to know that person and, you know, saying things to them that they want to hear, that they love to hear, and things that you love telling this person. I think it can start off like that, lovemaking, yes. Now, that's just my opinion, because it's my opinion. I'm not saying that out there for everybody to feel that way, because I had a friend, and we're still friends, and things he would say to me and how he would say them, I really felt like he was making love to me mentally. You know, and we've never had sex. We've never even made love, but by things he would say to me and how he would touch me, and we would kiss, but we've never had sex. And I did feel that, you know, it was like a mental lovemaking session.
Very good. Very good. Okay. See, because I think that you got some people that are that deep. They're that deep, you know, that. And when sometimes you find a person as deep as the other person, a lot of things can happen on a high level. Now, some people look at speed. Well, it happened too quick. Or it happened too soon. Or some people say it took too long. So they really weren't in love. Whatever the situation may be, I think that some people just have the right chemistry for each other sometimes.
Right, that's true. And if you got to have the right chemistry.
Right.
I'm going to bring in my co-host and see what she has to say on that.
Sure.
Good evening, Danny. Are you there?
Yeah, but I called to tell you I'm on my way to the hospital. I have an allergic reaction in my face just for you.
Oh, okay, so you're not going to be on the show tonight?
No. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in the store, and I'm on my way to the hospital now, so I'm just calling you to let you know that I'm not going to be able to do the show. My face is, as you can hear me, I keep going.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right, then I hope everything works out for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, hurry up and
take it. All right, thank you.
All right. Delicious.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, go on, hon. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, so I guess I've been on the planet long enough to see and know that, that sometimes I want to know the way I was raised and reared in the area that I come from, am I always thinking right? Because, you know, is everybody thinking like us on the planet? Some people, let me give you an example. One of my best friends, he's Puerto Rican and from New York. And he couldn't hardly have a good relationship, a wholesome relationship. And he was originally from New York, and he moved to Jersey because he was working for Dow Jones to edit the Wall Street Journal at the time. This was in the 80s. Got a good job. When he came out of undergrad, he had a super job. He made good money. And he was seeing this young lady for about 2 years, this other young lady for about a year and a half. It wasn't working. All right? He goes to visit uncle in Puerto Rico, and they both take the ferry to go to the Republic. And he sees this young lady, and they start talking. And conversation gets longer and longer and longer. He said to me, we might have talked for about a good 2 hours. It was just like, it just kept going and going. It was just so much commonality in it. So I took her number down, she took mine down. And he said when he got to Puerto Rico, he called. And when he went back to New York, he called. And he just kept the conversation going. He said, well, at that time, he said that he knew it was something special that happened. So he went back like maybe a couple months later to visit. And he said nothing physically happened. He said, but it was all conversation, though. Mental stimulating conversation. And what happened was he said that he wanted to be long for this person. They both had a thirst and an appetite and a desire. And within 6 months, because he said he never had that feeling before with anybody in the States like that. He said he felt like he was just a child. He said every time they would see each other, they felt like they were children, you know, playing and having fun. In other words, he said his childhood was coming all back with this person. He was with that person for approximately 5 months and married her, and they're still together.
Wow. Well, that just goes to show.
Wait a minute, she's in another culture. And remember that. She was in another culture in the Republic. She was raised and reared in America. His mother was from Puerto Rico. But see, he was part of what you and I are probably a part of, this establishment and this system on feelings, emotions, touching, what we have with each other. You know? So
yeah.
I'm saying that to say that I know that my grandparents got married very stayed together forever. So I don't know, Delicious. Sometimes I wonder how is it that we're reared and raised in a situation that we're in, you know? So I brought that in.
How are we raised in a what? I didn't get the last part.
The geographical location that we're in. But sometimes we think what we do is good or bad. Some people might look at us and say, we do things differently and we make it.
You know, that's a very good point. Because I know that from listening to men from different cultures, their whole idea of lovemaking and things that they do to women are different than what is done here in America. For instance, I think that men from the Caribbean, they're very sensual. They're very, they're not afraid to express themselves. And and their accents are very sensual, too. So women who love men who have accents, or women who love different men of different cultures, that's a plus. And then a friend of mine was even saying to the fact that some of the men from the Caribbean are more well endowed than the men here, you know, but that's another show. We're going to be into that next week. But it's just, I guess it depends on the culture, the area that they're from, and how they was brought up. Because I also spoke to a young man from, I think he was from Trinidad. He was from one of those islands over there. And the things that came out of his mouth was just, it was just so captivating. And all he spoke about was love, 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 love. And I asked him, I said, where did you, first of all, he said that, I think I asked him, you know, was he from a two-parent family? And he said, no, he was brought up by his mom and his aunt. And he said they are the ones who taught him how to, you know, love a woman, how to love. You know, he said they just showered him with love. So this is why he basically knew how to love and give love and be loved. And I feel that if every male child was shown true love, be it from females, their father, you know, we wouldn't have all the problems that we're having today with men being disrespectful to women and, you know, treating them like dirt and all this kind of stuff. I think it stems from the family values as well. When a person knows how to love and give love and be loved. And I'm just saying that because I know of quite a few young men who definitely love like that because they know what it is to be loved. And so it's just something that was inbred in them. So that's what they do. They give that love back.
Very good. Now, see what you said? Now, a person can be raised to know how to love. See, the thing is that do we really know how to love? That's the other side. You understand? Do we really know how to love? I mean, you got some people that fall in love with a car, jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hairstyle, complexion, you know.
Yeah, there's a saying that people love things and use people when they should love people and use things.
Okay.
So if you find a person who loves their car more than they love their girlfriend or love money more than they love their wife, you know, it's something wrong with that picture.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So,
I've been to the islands. I've been to Bermuda. I've been to Puerto Rico. I've also been to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And the people are free to give affection and physical stimulation and love. And because they move quick at it and because they're sincere at it, I don't think that they're out trying to break hearts. I think they're out with sharing it, what they have and what they do. So, you know, I'm saying to say that, you know, it's not the way we view things in America. Like this thing, wham, bam, thank you, man. Person that might be from the islands and two people from America go there and see how these people dress and act, they would say, oh, wow, they're very warm. But if they did the same thing in America, the woman might say, he's being fresh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, see, so I'm not quick to coin a lot of things because a lot of things are subject to change. You know, because I've been in different places, different cultures. Different cultures act different ways. Different cultures wear different stuff, act different ways. You know?
Yeah.
I've been to some islands where it was nude beaches. After a while, you forgot all about the nudity. You just went into the purse.
True.
See? But over here, you know, it's like, oh, wow, this person, not to say that that while in the islands, sex didn't take place, but I have to say that it was a whole different mentality. So I guess it's where you're at, who you're with, what can happen. You know?
Yeah.
Said it's through in it. Just you and myself on the phone, huh? That's
Pardon?
Great. That's just you and myself on the phone, huh?
Yeah, that is true. But you know, it's a good conversation because people, you know, there's just some things that people need to hear and people need to know. We have another caller. Well, we had a caller with their hand up, so. Let's bring that caller in and see what they have. Caller 513, are you there?
Yes, this is Romeo DiNatti.
Hi, Romeo, how are you?
How you doing, Mr. Lish?
I'm fantastic. You have a question or comment?
Well, I'm just enjoying the show. I saw the comment, the topic of the show, sex and love.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my thoughts, my idea in a poem form, if I can share that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go right ahead.
The title of the poem is not that complicated.
Oh, okay.
I ask that you lend me your ears so I can touch your mind, feel your heart, and enter to your soul with my thoughts. You're more than just a pretty face. To me, you're the definition of a blessing. From the encouraging words that you say, to your phenomenal, prophetic, poetic poetry that I want to replay. Your happiness and smile brights my day. You make me want to say words that I wouldn't expect myself to say, and I think that's crazy. Must be in love like D and Jay-Z, because I call you my bae. B. So, baby, please excuse me for being on air, telling you how I feel for thee. But it's me, trying to be as real as I can be. Yes, 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 I want you to be with me. I want to see you in my dreams, and after I wake, I open my eyes. I thank the Lord for shining the sun and for your beautiful presence laying next to me. The most wonderful presence next to the Holy Spirit is your essence, and it covers me. I will travel this earth to be with you. My thoughts are just the beginning of what I would do for you. While we build our royal anointed dynasty up 100 times 2. that couldn't build my perfect tool, save for Adam and Eve. But they were created by the hands of God so that I can see, so that leaves you and me. That single thought already has me smiling, because I found someone of a man been trapped on an island with her passion. It's my trip to paradise. A chocolate big booty waitress with us might make it more nice. Maybe. But that's just a bonus. Because all I need is you. So you're all I want. I said this twice before. I want to be the smell in your funk. I'm not sure how much closer we can get without incorporating metaphysics. Your lips, too sweet just to kiss. That's why I savor your flavor. From your ass to your heels. If you can count from 100 to 0, I promise every second unexplainable sweet sensations is what you will feel. From your hair to your nape, down your back, tingling your spine, even felt in your derriere as I kiss your right shoulder from behind, with every intention to make you mine. Bless you so good it makes you blind, but only for a few moments. We feeling so magnificent in our moment. They that said real love is magnificent, this is what they mean. Which explains me why I want to be with you. But sometimes how I feel is unexplainable. Because I can't simply say what would Jesus do. But if I was him and he was I think he would be with you too. Because I know I would die for you. My baby, my truth. Hey, boo, smile for me. It's because of you. I want to lift your glass and toast to you. Have your grape juice bubble up and burst for me. Drink it till you're thirsty. Then have you want more thirst for me. Like simply lemonade on a rainy day, going outside to play. I'll leave you soaked. From your lips to your throat, to your lips to your toes. I do things to you, you and only God knows. Tell you things that resembles revealing my soul. Hold on to my shoulders while I wrap my arms around your waist. Not a drip out of an ounce of your love will I waste. I can smell your fragrance. I can feel your taste. But beyond that, your heart is my place. So when the time is right, I want to forever tell you, good night. That's my thoughts.
Wow, did you write that?
Yes, I wrote that.
That was a dumb question, but I really didn't know. So are you a spoken word artist or a poet or what?
Yes, a poet, spoken word artist, Romeo DiNatti.
Oh, okay. Well, you're definitely going to have to come back when we have our reading night, because I'm also going to be reading short erotic stories. And if you have any
definitely. I'm the prince of poetic pleasures, erotic potential.
Oh, okay. Well, you're definitely going to have to come back when I have that night when we'll be having short story readings and erotic poetry, or if you have a short story or whatever, something as long as it's erotic.
I would enjoy that, definitely.
Oh, okay. Well, just, keep watching my posts and, come back. Definitely come back on Wednesday nights regardless. But when that comes up, definitely there, so you can read off some of your erotic poetry.
Thank you.
And
that
was beautiful, too. How did you come up with the concept of that piece?
Well, it was for a birthday. I was writing a piece for someone's birthday, and I knew how I felt about him, but I'm known for erotica, but I didn't want it to be about erotica. I wanted it to be more just about how they make me feel and my thoughts about them. But, I mean, it still had kind of sexual tones because I still enjoy that part with them. But
right, so you were stimulating their mind.
Yes, and I was just, that's where the title came from. It's not that complicated. Love is more deeper than just the physical.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what did you think of that poem, T?
I think that was excellent. It takes a, let me tell you, I can write essays, and I've done, I'm working on an autobiographical work and a play. I can never write poetry. I respect and admire people who can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great mind.
I
you know, everybody can't do poetry. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I write poetry, but I'm not a spoken word artist, even though I wish I could do spoken word, but I'm more or less a poetry. I have to read my poems. And I love spoken word artists, especially when they do their sensual erotic poetry or just, you know, something that's fulfilling type of poetry that they speak. Yeah. So don't forget, you know, keep checking in. When I have that night, I really would appreciate if you'd be on so you can read some of your erotic poetry.
Oh, I definitely would. You know, that was a poem about love. Next time I do a poem about sex, erotica.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Could never see tomorrow. that no one ever told us about the sorrow. So
it's just not alright. It's just not alright. Help me, God, to fix this pain.
How can you stop the rain from falling?
How can you stop the sun from shining? How can you stop the rain from falling down? The world goes around.
Sometimes I'm the same.
Call in, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. And tonight's topic is sex versus lovemaking. And I'm back with my guest on the line, T.
I'm here. I like your tone.
Did Al Green
later on did that with that other person?
Did Al Green did a solo with that just in himself?
Did he turn around and
right.
did he with a second person? That's a wonderful tune. I mean, I've always admired.
Josh Stone.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a makeover, but it's just, I think that's, I'm not sure, but I think Josh Stone is a white woman. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, they sound good together.
Yes. This is an old tune. You know, it was just done over again. How do you mend a broken heart?
Yeah, I liked it when Al Green did it by herself, but she added special spice to the taste. So it was great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really great, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about the lovemaking.
Sure, I'm right here.
Okay.
Sure.
Have you ever had sex with someone?
Of course, yes.
And you've also made love to someone?
Yes, I have.
What was the difference to you?
I guess that when I have sex with a woman, I feel as though that it's very valuable. In other words, once the sex is over with, I don't feel like there should be any neglect on either side. I'm talking about sex now. I have made love with a woman, and the lovemaking was great, even though a lot of people would consider it just sex.
Right.
And it turned around that woman, after that first time of lovemaking, never got back with me, never called me, never came past my house, never wrote me a letter, never did anything. She did the reverse of what a lot of women go through. She reversed it on a man at that time, which I guess the things that you want the most, you probably have a longing for them more than things that you could have. So I was trying to understand, you know, what happened. Was something wrong? I don't think there was anything wrong with what we did. I think she liked this as well as I did. But I think because she had been done like that in the past, she probably had started doing men like that.
Right. Somebody in the chat room put maybe that the woman was scared. Do you think that may have had something to do with it?
No. I think that she has had these experiences in the past where, since it was kind of early, she said, well, let me get him before he gets me. But I wasn't trying to go in that direction. It could have continued on. After that one night, it could have been more and more nights.
Right.
Exactly. But
well, maybe
she wanted
you think
to show
she may
me.
Have been hurt by somebody, and she didn't really want to her feelings involved.
Exactly. So, I think we've all have been through something like that or similar. We're rejected. And sometimes when we're rejected, sometimes when we reject things, we want it more. So she was trying to show me how she had been hurt. Now she wants to hurt people because she felt as though probably, oh, he might not come back around again, so let me reject him before he rejects me. So would you call that sex or love me? Were we just having sex then, or was it love me?
Well, you had mentioned that you was doing it as a lovemaking. Maybe she was just doing it as sex because, like you said, she didn't want to feel that maybe afterwards she was going to be rejected. So she just said, well, that's it. You know, I'm not going to let him get to me. I'm going to get to him first. You know, and do you think that causes people to turn lovemaking into sex?
Here's the other thing.
When they feel that they're rejected?
I'm happy to say that. Do people know the difference? That's the other question. Do people know the difference between lovemaking and sex? Some people, I
would surmise that maybe some people don't know the difference, you know, because like I said, it may just be a play on words. If somebody comes to you and say, I want to have sex with you, and all the time he really wants to make love to you, you know, some people may say, well, I really don't want to have sex with you. I like to make love. So on that note, they make love, you know. And then again, it could turn out to the fact when he finished with her, he just get up and go his way, never call her. But, you know, she wanted that thing called love. Love making.
And so did the man. The man wanted that thing called love. See, it works both ways. It's not that much difference between, I think, today and a man and a woman.
A lot of them
seek the same things. They seek the same thing. They want the same things. They both are human.
That is true. That is true because some women see a man, and they may just want to be with that man for that one night stand.
That's right.
The same as men see men and want to be with them for that one night stand. Then somebody sees somebody, they got the love struck, you know, and another person's love struck, and, you know, then it's on.
That's right.
I think basically the only difference between men and women is their sexual genitalia and their thought patterns. Some men are emotional, some men are not, but most women are emotional. That's just our makeup.
Okay. So in other words, are we more visual, and you ladies are more emotional? Am I right? In other words, is a man more visual? Because, you know, you could, you know, a man.
Yeah, I think men are more visual. You know, not to say that women aren't, but men are definitely more visual than women. You know, because if you see a woman, if you're a man who likes big breasts, you see a woman with big breasts, oh, I gotta have her. I just see myself with my face buried in her breasts. Or if you like big butts, you see your hands all over her butt. You know, these are things that men take into consideration when they pick out a woman that they want to be with, a woman that they even want to have sex with, or a woman that they want to make love to. When women, a man would, you know, it depends on his conversation. How he carries himself. He could be tall, he could be dark skinned, or whatever, you know. And as long as he has a nice personality, you know, because you have to consider a person's personality. When men, they don't care. If they get with the woman, then they find out she's a whore or slut or whatever. They've already done what they wanted to do, and that's it. But, you know, women, we basically like to get to know a guy, his personality, you know, different things like that. And not to say that all women think that way, but the majority of women, I believe, do think that way.
Okay.
And there are women, like I said, who are visual. They want men who got good hair, or they want a man who's cute, or a light-skinned man, a man with hazel eyes, and, you know, different things like that. Then they find out he's a bum. Or he's no good. You know, you really have to go after a person's character, you know, and find that out. You know, what type of character do they have? Because they can look like Howdy Doody and be the best person in the world.
That's true. This is true. You're exactly right.
Yeah, somebody put the chat that women are more mental sometimes.
Okay.
They're like they could be turned on from thinking about someone I'm attracted to and how acts in his personality. That's true. I just mentioned that. The way he talks or makes me laugh, you know, different things like that.
Right. Right. Well, I guess that it depends on the experiences, what the male and female go through, whether or not they understand the difference between sex and love. Because you have some people that just might be in love with the sex.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Like, and thinking that they are in love. And then you have some people who aren't satisfied with their physical love, and they claim that they're in love, but they separate. Let me give you an example. I have a cousin. She's a psychiatrist. She lives in the Midwest. And she asked me, why do I think most the people that have come to her who eventually have gotten divorces, why do you think that they divorce? Most of her cases. Do you think it's been sex or money?
I would say sex.
You're exactly right. I never believed her. She told me this some time ago. She told me that the money wasn't the problem. It was them not being intimate, not having good sex. And they were going on the outside of their marriage, and they just realized that they shouldn't have been together. They loved each other, right. But the sex wasn't great. That's deep.
Right.
How do you,
right.
What do you do with that? What do you do with a situation?
Well,
these people loved each other, but they couldn't work it out in the bed. So I asked my cousin, why didn't he even get married?
Yeah.
She told, yeah, right, exactly. Sure. She told me that it was all this excitement in the beginning. And they got married because they loved each other. And they thought that
right.
they could be with each other because they loved each other, and sex would be number 8 on the list instead of number 1. And they moved
mm-hmm.
from being number 8 on the list to being number 1, and they couldn't get it together with the sex. They went on, both of them went on the outside of the marriage. They just separated and divorced.
Well, you know, things
better.
Like that happen simply because when you first get into a relationship or when you first, you know, have sex with somebody, it's always going to be the best because that's what a person wants to present, you know, give you the best. Now, if you're doing that to get in a relationship with somebody, once you get in a relationship, you have to continue to do that in order to keep that person. People get in relationships and then they get lax. I had a friend who was married for over 20-some years, and him and his wife divorced simply because she had stopped having sex with him after they got married, you know, and he was a very sexual person. But she just suddenly stopped. He said before they got married, they was having sex every day, any place, anywhere, any time. Then when they got married, it went south. So, you know, rather than him to cheat, he divorced, you know. So people have to realize that whatever it is you do as far as sex or lovemaking, you have to continuously do that in the relationship. And if things are going south, you have to do something to spice it up. And I'm not talking about bringing somebody else into the relationship because that doesn't work out too well. But there are things that you can do to spice up your relationship and to keep the fires burning in that relationship if that's what you want to do. Now, a person who is maybe is sick or a person who is a man who suffers from ED, there are also things you can do for that as well. But just to get into a marriage or a relationship and then just to abruptly stop what you were doing before you got into that marriage or that relationship is not too good. It's going to cause a division because one party is not going to be able to take that, especially when you both were engaging in it for say, like, if you was in a relationship for 5 or 6 years, then all of a sudden you get married, then all of a sudden you just stop. A person
right.
is going to either do one or two things. They're either going to start cheating or they're going to just divorce. Like you had said, your cousin psychiatrist, most of the cases are from divorcing because of sexual issues. And
wow.
that's sad.
Yeah.
It doesn't really even have to be like that, not unless the person is sick. You know, a person who maybe has problems where they can't have sex.
Erection. Yeah, I understand.
So,
you know, other than that,
yeah.
if you was having sex every day like a rabbit and you get married, of course your husband is going to continuously to want that. So maybe
right.
some people need to get slow, take it easy, and, you know, just be mindful that whatever you did to get this person in, whatever you did sexually, you have to continue to do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that will definitely.
Let's be real, Delicious. Sex is a powerful thing in America. It is powerful.
So
it sells. It sells alcohol, food, clothes, shelter,
mm-hmm.
cars,
music.
You know,
yeah,
it's true.
Yes, it is.
And movie. It's oh
mm-hmm.
my, it's that, and probably if people ain't messed up on a drug called sex, they're messed up on another type of drug. You know, so I'm serious.
That is true because they say that women have a gold mine between their
mm-hmm.
legs, men have killed for it, lied for it, cheated for it, died for it, stole for it, you know, just did all kind of things for that gold mine, you know. And women rule. You know, I'm not trying to be facetious or anything like that, but we rule, and we do have the power, you know.
Yes.
But some women let it go and don't know how to use it, but we do have the power.
Would you admit that? Oh, let me tell you something. A war was started many years ago. I don't know if Helen was kidnapped from Troy or if she went willingly. But I know it made two nations fight. So was she Helen from from Greece, or was she Helen from Troy? Because once she didn't make it to Troy, she made a whole nation come over there to risk their lives for that one. And all those two wanted to do is just love each other. So yeah, let me tell you something. A beautiful woman, she is worth all her weight in gold, especially if she has the mind to go with it. Oh, my God. You can look at the Internet. Sometimes you can't even look at the Internet and email people or use anything other than what it's used for, because every time you turn around, a pretty woman's coming past the screen. On television, the screen, boom, in rap music, in regular music, in Al Green, in Smokey Robinson, wherever, on the movies.
Yeah.
Poetry.
Yeah.
A woman is a very... The sex is powerful, but the woman to go along with the sex is even more powerful. So,
this is Romeo DeNatti. Is my line still open?
Yeah, it's still open.
Okay. I wanted to comment on the statement about the gold mine between women legs. I agree with that, but I think more men need to realize what we owe. I mean, if we're talking just about sex and what we bring to the table. Because when you think about the situation between men and women sexually, most men will never be disappointed with a woman's sex. I mean, it's very seldom bad sex for men.
Mm-hmm.
But for a woman, you know, it's touch and go. A lot of women be disappointed, you know, with men's sex. So if there's a man with, I mean, I guess a woman would say good dick,
mm-hmm.
then that's like the pearl of all pearls. And if that man knows that, I ain't saying, you know, he needs to take advantage. I'm just saying, if we're going to speak in that gold mind frame of, you know, women having that gold mind, you know, what men possess. Because
mm-hmm.
some women, I mean, like I said, they can, if it's not long enough or he don't last long enough, there's a lot of reasons that a woman could be disappointed. So if men realize what we got, you know, we can change a lot of things for the better of the relationship.
That is true. And like you said, there women can be disappointed when men can't, because a man can basically be satisfied any kind of way. But
exactly.
We women, it takes us a minute to have orgasms. When a man, he can have an orgasm within seconds, minutes, when sometimes it takes women anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes to have an orgasm. And if a man isn't the right size, that's another problem. But that'll be another show which will air on the 5th of September. Does size matter? But, yeah, there are different reasons why women are not sexually satisfied by men. And a man, he can stick his penis in a hole in the ground and be satisfied.
Listen, Delicious, and my brother, I have to call y'all back. I got an important call on the other line. I'll call you back.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so like I had mentioned, Romeo, and, you know, have you ever, well, you already mentioned that you've never had bad sex, right? Or have you?
No, I've had bad sex. I was younger.
What was the reason?
No, I would say it again.
Mm-hmm. What was the reason?
And this actually came up not too long ago. And my statement was it was bland. I remember just sitting there watching the info commercial. And it was just, I was just uninterested. It wasn't wet enough. I just wasn't really turned on or excited. And I faked the orgasm. So, you know, it ended quickly. And my friend, she was said she didn't know me and could fake orgasm. But, yeah, when enough is enough, a man would say, you know, all right. But other than that, I'm sorry, go again.
How long did it take you before you faked your orgasm?
Like I said, it was an infomercial. It was less than 15 minutes.
Okay. So you said she wasn't wet enough and...
It was just bland. It just wasn't... Yeah, it was just...
somebody you were having sex with?
It was just a... I mean, because of what it was just a one-time, never again thing. I mean, I knew her. And not allowed her to come over, but she couldn't come back over after that.
Was totally disappointed, huh?
I was disappointed, yes.
Wow. Well, that happens, you know.
Very seldom for me, but it happens.
Men can be disappointed for the same reasons,
yes.
And they fake orgasms for the same reasons as well, you know, because... At one point in my life, I faked orgasms before, and that simply was because the guy that I was with was, after we started into the sex, I became disenchanted. I really didn't want to because it wasn't about the sex when we started it because he wasn't into it himself, and... it wasn't romantic. It wasn't, it just was like, because number one, he started talking about things that weren't even about what we were doing, you know. And when you're having sex with somebody, that's, or making love to somebody, that's what's supposed to be on your mind. He was asking me questions that had nothing to do with what we were doing, number one. And so I just, you know, I just told him, I said, well, my stomach hurts.
Yeah,
you know,
I think there's three stages of sex.
Right, you know, and you have to be very careful, even when you're having sex with somebody, the person that you pick out. And I don't necessarily seek out people to have sex with because I really like to make love when I do make love, not to say that I haven't had, you know, been with people just to have sex, you know, being with guys to have sex with them because that's what I wanted, you know.
Yeah, but making love is more meaningful and more enjoyable. And you know, if it's done right, it's more lasting impression.
Right.
I think there's three stages.
I found out after a while from, you know, faking orgasms, I said, I'm not going to keep faking orgasms. I'm just going to, you know, because if I can tell... once I, you know, begin to act, and if that guy is not doing certain things to me, I can tell right then that nothing's going to become of it, you know. And then sometimes even having conversations with guys who may, you know, want to be in a relationship with me or want to hook up with me, I can tell by the conversation that it's not going to be about anything. So I don't even waste my time to, you know, invite them over or to even hook up with them,
right.
You know, because already a waste of time by the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, certain things that I can pick up in a conversation that is a turnoff.
Yeah, I was talking, a woman knows within 5 to 10 seconds if they want to have sex with a man, and it's upon that man if he's going to mess that up or not with them, you know, what he says or how he says it.
Yeah, and then we had touched on the part of some men who have ED, erectile dysfunction. That's another turn off, you know. And then if they're not telling you these things, and
beforehand,
you know, just trying to, you know, because I had hooked up with this guy, and come to find out, he was a diabetic, and he was on medication, and sometimes the medication will make you impotent. Yeah, and so he didn't tell me that he, you know, so we're getting ready to do our thing, and it's all up there, and then once he gets ready to put it in, it goes down, and I'm saying, what in the heck is going on, you know? But then he confessed that, you know, he had that problem. But if we had talked about it, which we did talk about it, but he never did tell me that he was on medication. He was a diabetic because everything was good and this and that. So if we had had that conversation before anything had happened, it would have never even gotten that far. Believe me, it wouldn't have gotten that far because I already know that a person who is on certain medications render men impotent, make them impotent. You have high blood pressure, diabetes, and smoking, drinking, things like that will render a man with impotency.
I have a question for you.
Can
the sex ever be too good?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Yes.
And what reason?
Well, with me, depends on how the person is stroking, how he's kissing, how he's caressing, what things he is saying to me, you know, just driving me crazy, you know, and that's when I have multiple orgasms. So yes, it could be really good, real good. But those types of intimacy or relationships are far and few in between.
Okay.
Yeah, but it can happen. It can happen, most definitely, and especially if the guy is the right fit, everything. You know, so it gets really good. Have it ever happened to you?
That a woman told me I was too good, or I felt the woman was too good?
You found a woman that was too good. Or did a woman ever tell you was too good?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to be blessed, so I hear that quite often. But one time I thought a woman was, it was in my younger days again, so since I'm older now, I know how to take advantage of things. But I recall one time, I seen her from a distance, and when I seen her, I already, like, kind of figured in my head, my mind was like, this woman devastating. I mean, she just had that sexiness about her, and I'm real mild-mannered, so I really don't speak too much. I'm more of an observer first, and she saw me, and she spoke to me. We had a conversation. She invited me up for dinner. And I think a week later, she invited me up. And I don't know if it was just from my vision of her before I was with her, but that night, again, I was young, so I'm attributing it to my youth, that I just really wasn't prepared for the sex that we had that night. And I remember the next day I'm doing high hospital dishes. And I thought about it. And I kind of folded up like, wow. So the next time, you know, I couldn't let her take advantage of me like that. So I had to flip the script. But from that point forth, I never wanted to feel like I was losing control. So that was the last time where I ever felt like it was just too good.
Oh, okay.
So I had to grow it fast after that day.
Yeah, well, I've had it where it was really good. I mean, you know, really good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that was, it started off as sex, but ended up as lovemaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that can happen, you know. Yeah. And It was just, you know, something that happened, and I basically wanted to hold on to it.
Okay.
And I did. And, you know, because you're supposed to hold on to whatever is good to you. Sometimes it might even be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it can get to a point where it's really good. And I've even heard someone had told me one time it was so good till they cried.
Yeah, that's possible.
I just felt so overwhelmed. I felt such euphoric, and it was just like something. I was just like in another planet somewhere. But
no,
crying,
just recently.
I've never.
Just recently, a friend told me that when a woman has an orgasm, that's the closest to a spiritual awakening that they can have in that sense. Yeah.
But someone told me that when, I don't know if they said just women, but they said when a person has an orgasm, that they're momentarily insane.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a little true because of the overfilling of joy that you have. Because what happens when you have an orgasm, you release these endorphins.
Right.
And it makes you feel so happy. You know, you just have this joyous feeling, a good feeling all over you. And when you have orgasm, it even relieves little pains and aches that you have in your body. Because if you notice when you have an orgasm, you just lay there and you take a deep breath and it's just like you're just on a cloud, you know, momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can almost say I can believe that, but it's definitely the best feeling that anybody could ever experience when it comes to pleasure.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Yeah, the best
so
feeling.
So you have to, you know, be selective. You know, what will you choose to do that with? And
yeah.
You know, be cautious and practice safety and enjoy.
Yeah.
Be comfortable and enjoy.
That's true. That is true because there's nothing like it. And somebody has said if God created anything better, he kept it to himself. But
sure. I don't like that.
Quite sure he shared it, you know, but it's nothing like an orgasm. And it does so many things for you physically as well as mentally. I had a friend that said he had went to work and he had told his boss he was off. Well, he had called in and told his boss that he had a toothache, you know, and he couldn't come to work because his tooth was hurting so bad. So his boss said, well, have you and your wife made love? Well, he said, no, my tooth hurt too bad. He told him, well, I tell you what, if you and your wife made love, that toothache will go away. And he did. And sure enough, his toothache went away. It may have been temporarily, but his toothache did go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I have back problems sometimes. And when I have an orgasm, I have no more pains in my body temporarily.
Okay. Right.
But, you know, it's just an overjoyous feeling when man or woman has an orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Miss Delicious.
We're going to take a little. Huh?
How much longer is the show? It's my first.
We have about 11 minutes left, and we're going to take a little break and come back and have a few announcements, and then we'll close the show down. Do you have anything you want to say before I go on the break?
Oh, I was going to see if I can just serenade you with another piece afterwards.
Oh, okay. Well, we come back from this break, and we can do that. Aretha Franklin, I Never Loved a Man. We're back to the show. Tonight's topic is sex versus lovemaking. The caller number is 646-652-2877. If anyone has any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. Romeo?
Yes, Ms. Delicious, I'm here.
Are you? Oh, okay, so you wanted to...
You wanted to say another piece? Yes, erotic piece. Well, I call it sensual.
Oh, okay. Go right ahead.
It's titled Those Lips. I ask that you lend me your ear so I can touch your mind, feel your heart, and enter into your soul with my thoughts. I want to kiss your lips till your eyes run into the back of your head. I want to kiss your lips until you feel the need to grab and squeeze the covers on the bed. I want to kiss your lips until your body gets weak. Then further kiss your lips until you start to drip on the sheets. I want to kiss, suck gently, bite your lips so good it makes you rub on my face. I want to kiss your lips from the door to the couch, the floor, up and down the steps, baby. I want to kiss your lips all over the place. To be honest, I want to kiss your lips until you feel like you're going to melt into my mouth. Then like a soaring eagle looking for nourishment, I'm going to head my way down south and softly kiss your lips. Then slowly slide my tongue over and around your lips until the feeling makes you grab and caress your breast, and directly after part your sweet dripping lips on my tongue, you think, oh shit, this is the best. Why biting your bottom lip? But don't think I'm down with you, baby. I'm finna take my time. I'ma kiss your lips just as long as it takes grapes to turn into fine wine. I closed my eyes, pulled you to my face, and went to work. All you heard was the slurp, slop, slurps of my kissing you, of me licking you, of me tasting you, of me enjoying every single drip down my chin, and of all the moans and groans I received from those lips. That's my thoughts.
Wow. That was hot.
Thanks.
No, we ain't. Ooh, in another world. I love that. And I just can't wait until you come back on the night when we have the sensual spoken word poetry, the short stories being read, which is going to be soon.
Okay, yeah, I'm working on my debut album.
You have an album? A CD?
I'm working on my debut album. It's titled Romeo Do Not Business My Thoughts, Sexy, which stands for Sensual Erotic Escapades of Intellectual Thoughts. I have a YouTube channel. Actually, my poem, Wet Rain, is nominated for a Spoken Word Billboard Award in Michigan. So I'll be up there performing. It's under Mr. Romeo DiNatti. That's my YouTube channel, if you want to check that out.
Oh, okay. Mr. Romeo DiNatti?
Yeah, DiNatti is DNATI. But it's all one.
DNATI?
DNATI. Mr. Romeo DiNatti.
Okay, Mr.
All one word.
And Mr. T-Bat, are you back too?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am for a few. I'm back, yep. Oh, yes. People were calling me and complimenting and commenting on this. On this RNC, this Republican National Convention. Maybe that's why some people probably didn't call in. They were looking at Romney's vice president, and, you know, I guess there's a lot of people have been occupied with that. You know, it's interesting. I hope Obama gets back in. There's some things I disagreement and dislike, but I prefer him over those two clowns. So that's just a little reaction. Back to the regular subject.
Yeah, we had been speaking of, you probably didn't hear what we last spoke of. We were just speaking of if lovemaking can be too good. What are your thoughts on that, T?
Wow, too good, huh? In other words, like an addiction? Like too good so you get addicted?
Well, too good to the point it makes you cry. Or it makes you want it more and more.
Hold over in the afternoon the next day.
Oh, yeah, that can happen.
Love hangover.
I've been in a predicament like that. Whoa, that's tough. Ooh. And what I mean by that is that you, because even if you separate from that person, you can never get it back, you know? You know, it could be that great, it could be that good, and vice versa. You know, some people just got it going on. Some people, we just have chemistry with, some people we don't. We got to admit that. And can you live with that? Can you live or can you not live with it? And you have to constantly be evolving with lovemaking. Delicious. Are you familiar with 50 Shades of Grey? What's going on? Were they burning the book or something?
Yeah, I heard of that book, but I haven't read it. Some of the reviews on it were that it wasn't all that, but I don't know. I have not read the book.
Yeah.
Everybody's
I'm a friend of mine said that it was overrated when she read it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, but
she said it was more of a cultural thing. It was more for the Caucasian type.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they're different in their lovemaking and different things like that. But I did hear that the book was overrated. I read some of the reviews on it, and some people saying, why did she even write the book? You know, then some people said it was a good book. You know, everybody has their own opinion, but I have the book in a Kindle form, but it was sent to me. I wouldn't have bought the book, but it was sent to me free. So I never pass up anything free, whether I can use it or not, because if I can't, I can pass it on to somebody else. But the book was sent to me free, and I haven't even begun to read it yet because I have so many other books that I'm reading right now, and I'm also working on a couple of things as well. So we're going to get ready and close the show down. I have a few announcements I'd like to make. Next week's show My Friday show is my musical show, and it's going to be slow jams. Next Wednesday, which will be September the 5th, the show is going to be Does Size Matter? And that's on Bringing Sexy Back next Wednesday. My Friday show, I think I'm going to really be cutting that down to maybe the first Friday of the month and the last Friday of the month. That just depends, but that's how I'm thinking about doing that and just doing my Wednesday show. Also, for you guys out there that don't know, I'm an author, poet, publisher, romance consultant. I do a lot of other things, but those are the most important things that I'm doing right now. I really love to read. I love to write. I have 4 published books, working on my 5th and 6th book, and I have a client who is doing a book with my company as well. It's jjpublishing.com. If you want to check out my website, that's jayjaypublishing.com. I also have a fan page on Facebook, which is JJ Publishing. I'm also on Facebook as Gail Delicious Johnson if you want to befriend me. Don't befriend me and then don't do keep in contact, you know, because I do like to at least go by my friend's page if I don't do anything more than like something or, you know, leave a little comment here and there, because I'm not a friend collector. I don't care if I have 2 friends on there. You know, people have 5,000 and they never even communicate with them. But, you know, if you want to be my friend, befriend me and, you know, stay in touch. I like to network, and I've met quite a few people on Facebook. Personally, I have a lot of relatives on Facebook, family persons and friends and, you know, like I said, people that I've actually met from Kentucky, just about different places that I've been and met these people. So go to my Facebook page, friend me, go on my fan page and become a fan, check out my website. And next week, like I said, the show is going to be Does Size Matter? And if you have any questions or comments, or if you want to be a guest on my show, on my Friday show, leave me an email. My email address is G as in Gail, J as in Johnson, delicious37 at gmail.com. Again, that email is gjdelicious37 at gmail.com. If you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have a topic that you want me to discuss on my Wednesday show, you can leave me an email for that. A Wednesday show is basically a show, its connotation is sex. So if you have a topic or something you want to talk about, send me an email, or you can inbox me on my Facebook page if you're on Facebook, and we'll make it happen. With that being said, I'm going to tell everybody in the chat room, thanks for dropping by. Ms. Lopez, Sirius wants to know your enemy, Black Man 37, stop by, and everybody out there that's listening from your iPhone, iPad, computer, or wherever you're at listening, I appreciate that. Come back and keep listening, because it's going to get hot up in here. I appreciate you, T, and Romeo, for calling in.
Sure.
I'll see you guys back next Wednesday. And have a good evening. And with that being said, I'm going to say good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Now, whoever said a good man was hard to find, positively, absolutely sure was blind. Because I just found the best man that ever was. And here's just a few of the things that he does. Ow. He shakes my ashes, greases my griddle, churns my butter, and he strokes my fiddle. Oh, my man is such a handy man. Threads my needle and he creams my wheat, heats my heater, and he chops my meat. He's a mess, my man. He's such a handy man. I don't care if you believe it or not, he's a mighty nice man to have around. Cause when my furnace gets too hot, he's right there to turn my damper down. For everything, that man of mine's got a scheme, and honey, it's amazing the way he handles my machine. My man is such a handy man. Oh, that man's a mess. Out. He flaps my flapjacks, cleans off the table, feeds the horses in my stable. My man is such a handy man. And do you know, sometimes he's up way before dawn, busy cleaning the rough edges off my lawn. My man is such a handy man. Now he never has a single word to say while he's working hard, poor soul. And I'd give anything if you could see the way he handles my front yard. Now my ice never gets a chance to melt away, cause he sees that I get a nice fresh piece every day. My man is such a handyman.